from KQED.
It's Monday morning, but imagine it's a Saturday night and you've been out on the town. You're driving home and suddenly you come upon the flashing lights of a sobriety checkpoint. It's a common occurrence in Southern California, a little less so in the rest of the state. So you may be surprised to learn police departments are scheduling 2,500 checkpoints this year. Ryan Gabrielson joined us to go over the findings of a new report by the Investigative Reporting Program at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism.
They're massively increasing them because studies have found that when you do them more often, they tend to work better at deterring drunk drivers. But the other part of these operations is that they're not just screening for drunk drivers. They're screening for people who are driving without a license.
Your own story uncovers what appears to be a blur of civic duty and self-interest. Police are clocking a lot of overtime, and in some cases, the departments are getting a cut of the towing company fees.
We have no data to prove that police departments are intentionally targeting certain areas to where they know there's going to be unlicensed drivers, but they certainly are catching them in huge numbers, well over 20,000 in 2009, about a 53% increase since 2007. Cities charge impound release fees. Everybody who wants to get their car back after it's been impounded has to pay somewhere between $20 in some cities and $495 in others. That's just what the city collects up front. Then you got to go and deal with the tow companies. Increasingly, cities contract with tow companies and actually get a cut of the fees that the tow companies collect on top of what the cities are making initially. So what we calculated was for 2009, more than $40 million was generated through the checkpoint impounds alone.
If these are unlicensed drivers, a certain percentage of that population are going to be undocumented immigrants who don't go back to get the car. What does that mean in terms of money?
Well, we found an overwhelming number of the people who are unlicensed are undocumented or illegal immigrants. Some of them do go back and get their cars. Because you don't have to have a driver's license to retrieve the car. California has a 30-day impound law, so the car is held for a month collecting tow fees and storage fees. After that month, if you go back as the registered owner with a licensed driver with you, you don't have to have a license yourself. You can retrieve the cars. Sometimes, though, the storage fees on them are so high that the immigrants just go out and buy a different car. So it doesn't really keep them off the roads, we're finding. It just changes the vehicles that they are driving.
Now, these checkpoints, your reporting finds, are catching a lot more unlicensed drivers than they are drunk drivers.
Yeah, 6-to-1 or 7-to-1, depending on the region. Some cities we found, they impound 60 cars in an evening and sometimes won't make a single arrest. There are some checkpoints where they're impounding dozens of cars and not conducting a single field sobriety test.
A lot of listeners are going to be hearing this and thinking, an unlicensed driver doesn't have a right to be on the road. Their car should be taken away from them. What do public safety experts say about the practice of taking the car away from them? Is it working on a practical level?
Well, obviously, if you can take a vehicle away from a population that is a danger on the road, it certainly helps. Taking it away longer helps better. One interesting thing we found is that at these checkpoints, they're not impounding the cars of people caught for drunk driving. You can pick that car up the next morning. But if you're driving unlicensed, it's gone for 30 days. Is there a benefit? Certainly. But the question is it constitutional to do so? In 2005, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals came out with a ruling in an Oregon case that police may not impound the vehicle if the only charge is driving without a license and the vehicle isn't posing a threat to public safety or isn't in its own, threatened with being vandalized imminently itself. So driving without a license, while no one here is arguing that that's a population that isn't a risk on the roads, there are serious constitutional questions about whether the Fourth Amendment allows the seizure of property under those circumstances. And there's another case awaiting the Ninth Circuit oral arguments in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals right now that directly challenges California's 30-day impound law.
Now, it's worth mentioning that all police departments are not alike. The CHP has its way of going about things. The LAPD has its way. Sheriff's departments around the state, their ways.
And San Francisco's police department just last year changed its policy to allow 20 minutes. When somebody is caught driving without a license, they have 20 minutes to find somebody else, a legal driver, to remove the vehicle from the scene before it would be impounded. So there's a lot of agencies that do it differently. You mentioned California Highway Patrol. At their checkpoints in 2008, they made four times as many DUI arrests as they did impounded cars, which is totally opposite of what everyone else is doing in the rest of the state. So there is a different way to do it, and Highway Patrol has shown that.
California is the only state that does this, isn't it?
That does it this way, with using checkpoints to catch unlicensed drivers and then taking their cars for 30 days. California is alone on that.
Ryan Gabrielson, reporter and Pulitzer Prize winner, we should mention. This story aired in the Bay Area section of the New York Times yesterday. Tonight, a television version airs on the PBS NewsHour on stations across California. For more information, look for the link to California Watch at our website, californiareport.org.